magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, May 23rd, 2016. What a weekend. In fact, you've heard that expression, probably most all of you. You needed to be there. Well, you really did need to be there. But I'm going to try to recapture two different events and share them with you so you can be a part of things, because many blessings resulted through these encounters with God's people and the unique circumstances that brought it all about. Now, today I was going to have one of my conversational English class students share his testimony, and I'll save that for tomorrow, because with yesterday's message still being so fresh in many of our minds, I want to take you on our journey with our 55-passenger deluxe motor coach that head up to the Moody Church yesterday. And I worshiped and fellowshipped with some of the greatest saints. What a blessing. And you're going to hear Dr. Lutzer's message in its entirety as shared at the Moody Church. It's the last time delivering their Sunday morning message as their senior pastor. And many of you met Dr. Lutzer in person at our 20th celebration last month. And I thought it'd be really fitting to have you a part of that message today. Now, he'll continue to be on at 8:30 with his program Running to Win Monday through Friday on WGNN. And I know that his message was focused to some degree on addressing his church, the Moody Church there in Chicago, but there's many points of application. And so let me set the stage. We met bright and early yesterday at Marketplace Mall, gathering around 6:30 with the bus departing right at about 7:01, made a pickup in Paxton at the Hardee's, and our busload of 55 was ready to continue en route to the Moody Church. We arrived right around 9:30, giving us plenty of time to get seated. We had good seats. And if you like some of the great hymns of old, in fact, Dr. Lutzer commented he had a part in choosing some of his favorites. And after a great organ prelude by Dr. John Innes and Dr. Lutzer's invocation, we heard a hymn medley that included To God Be the Glory, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, and Trust and Obey. Then there was a scripture reading out of Psalm 1, followed by another hymn medley, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, I need thee every hour, just as I am, there is a fountain, and my tribute, followed by an anthem by the three daughters of Dr. Erwin Lutzer and his wife Rebecca, their three daughters who are married. They sang the anthem, Find Us Faithful, and they were joined by the sanctuary choir and orchestra, so the music was off the charts great. And there was another anthem in the offering and a special tribute to Dr. Lutzer, where they read a number of letters that were received by notables, which included many of the radio hosts you hear on Great News Radio. They read messages from Dr. Ravi Zacharias, Billy Graham's daughter, a number of famous pastors, and I think they listed like about 60 or 70 other names, from Kay Arthur to Chuck Swindoll to Dr. Joseph Stoll, and on and on. And they invited Dr. Lutzer to deliver a message, and that's what you're going to just hear in a moment, being mindful that God calls us to himself before he calls us to ministry, and that at the end of the day, the importance of praying for each other, and that's what Dr. Erwin Lutzer asked of us to do on behalf of him and Rebecca and the ministry of the Moody Church. Here's Dr. Erwin Lutzer sharing his final message as the senior pastor at the Moody Church in Chicago, as delivered yesterday on Sunday, May 22nd.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name be glory and honor for thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness. When I say that we give God the glory for anything that was good that was accomplished in the last 36 years, I really mean it. It is really all of God. Yes, indeed, who could have dreamed that a farm boy in Saskatchewan, Canada, would grow up admiring Billy Graham and always wanting to preach, and God connected all the dots whereby I would have the privilege of being the pastor here for 36 years. To him alone is the glory. But while God gets the glory, my lovely wife Rebecca, sitting just back there, she gets a great deal of thanks, and she deserves it. Nobody really knows the kind of sacrifice that she has had in this ministry. I frequently being gone, involved in various things, she competently was able to take care of things with the children and all of the other things. When I think of Rebecca, I think of steadfastness, loyalty, generosity. And Rebecca is one of the most selfless women you could possibly imagine, always thinking about others. You know, the book of Proverbs asks the question, who can find an excellent wife? I want to tell you today, I did. I love you, Rebecca. Also today, I want to give thanks to the elders. When I came here, especially the first 2 years, there were some staff issues that were very difficult, and I thought to myself I might not be here very long. But God, in His grace and providence, helped us work through that, and because of their support, their unity, their wisdom, their humility, we've been able to work together with a great sense of harmony and joy throughout all of these years. Thank you, Berv Peterson and the other elders. I also want to pay tribute to the pastoral staff. And you know, this is a very difficult day, but what makes it easier is the fact that the ministry continues without a single hitch or hesitation. The pastoral staff here at the Moody Church are unified, they are God-minded, they love you, they are competent, and they are going to be able to guide this ministry and even grow it. As a matter of fact, they're doing some studying and so forth. I entrust them to you with deep gratitude for their lives, for their integrity, and I can assure you, you will be well served. Thank you, pastoral staff. And now I want to say a word about the man who will succeed me, who is known but to God. First Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says this. God said to Samuel, Samuel, I have chosen a king for myself. Samuel didn't know who in the world God had chosen. It was actually David, but nobody knew that. He said, I have chosen a king for myself. Two things come immediately to mind. Number one, God makes the choice. And that's why it's so important for us to pray for the search committee, that they will be guided by God, that it might be God's man for this hour of Moody Church's history. Secondly, you'll notice that even though God says, I'm going to make the choice, He used Samuel to find David. In the very same way, He's going to use the search committee to find the man that He has chosen. And then He chooses us for Himself. What an interesting phrase. God always calls us to Himself before He calls us to ministry. Now, I want to give you a word of caution. You know, it's easy to think, since the search committee has been at it for so long and may continue to be, that surely the man who is going to come is going to be a cross between Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. But I want to let you know in advance that one flawed pastor is going to replace another flawed pastor. So just accept the fact that he will be different. But nonetheless, we trust that he will be God's man for this hour. Now, a word about Rebecca and me. As you know, I'm going to become pastor emeritus. And people ask what that means. Well, to some extent, it means whatever I want it to mean. But I want you to change the paradigm in your mind today. I don't want you to think of the fact that we are leaving Moody Church. I want you to consider it this way, that we are being sent and commissioned by Moody Church to a new ministry. You are the sending church of the Lutzers. As pastor emeritus, I intend to keep the media ministry, as you know, running to win and continue to minister in other ways, seminars and what have you, but we'll see how that develops. But as long as I am pastor emeritus, Rebecca and I are going to be keeping our membership here. We're going to be supporting Moody Church financially. We're going to continue to be connected because we want to do all that we can to encourage you in the journey. So thank you so much for your continuing prayers for us. You know, there are people who say we're praying for you, and we've all said that very casually, haven't we? Oh, yeah, we're praying for you. But, you know, there are those who really pray. And one of the things you could do for us is, if you come across something I've written or you're listening to a message that is a blessing, right there, pause to pray. Because at the end of the day, what we need are people who know how to pray. And we, in turn, will pray for you. Now, much has changed since I became pastor 36 years ago. But there are many things that haven't changed. Human nature hasn't changed. The power and the destructive nature of sin has not changed. We think, for example, that the word of God has not changed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God doesn't change. Of course, the need for the gospel doesn't change, and the proclamation of it, there is salvation in none other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The gospel must continue to go out through the ministry of Moody Church and through our individual lives. So that hasn't changed. The need for evangelism hasn't changed. Obviously, in fact, it's growing more urgent. And Moody Church is known as a church that is a light to the city. It's a light to the city with a heart for the world, and that should not ever change. We represent the gospel of Jesus Christ to a needy culture, and Moody Church is more necessary than it has ever been at this hour of history. Now my text is going to be taken from the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul is saying goodbye to the elders. They go up to from Ephesus to Miletus, and he's giving his goodbye speech, and you can read it all for yourself at some other time. I want to just zero in on verse 32. This is what he says. Verse 32, chapter 20 of Acts. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Just that far. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul gives them four blessings, four benedictions, if you please, in verse 32. And I want to give those to you today, our dear beloved congregation. First of all, he says, I commend you to God. Now, it is God who gives continuity to history. You see, because God is eternal, but people aren't. And God is the one, you know, who selects leaders. He is thinking so far ahead of us, obviously. You know, it gives me a great deal of confidence to know that the same God who converted the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus is the same God who converted D.L. Moody, is the same God who converted me on that farm that I've mentioned. I'll never forget being at the kitchen, and we had a community dipper. Everybody drank from the same dipper. I mean, this is before some of you were born, I'm sure. And my mother said to me, you know, Dad and I think it's time for you to accept Christ as Savior. I was about 14. I always remember my response was, well, I've tried it, but it doesn't work. Every night I prayed that Jesus would come into my heart, and I had no assurance. But they took me into the den, just a little, maybe 10 by 12. And we knelt together, and I could take you to the exact spot. I could tell you where the chair was. We knelt together and they said, you have to receive Christ by faith, whether you feel differently or not, to receive the gift of eternal life he gives. And I did that night, and I can tell you honestly that the next day I knew that I knew God, and I have never doubted it since, to his glory. But you see, just as God came to me on that farm, there are boys and girls all over the world right now whom God is preparing for ministry, and we don't have a clue as to who they are, but God is working ahead. Jesus said that he would build his church, and his church confidently goes forward, and he's planning, he's growing leadership oftentimes in the shadows. So I say to you today, empires come and empires go, but God remains. Ministries are birthed, and sometimes ministries die, but God remains. People come and people go, but God remains. Pastors come and pastors go, but God remains. And today I commend you to God. And I believe that the same God who led the Moody Church now for 150 years will continue that in an even more blessed way. And then you'll notice the Apostle Paul says, and to the word of his grace, the word of his grace, I commend you to the word of God. You know, the Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. You see, the word of God converts people. What happens is this, even during this message, this might happen, where God takes the word of God and combines it with the spirit of God to produce in us the life of God. And that's what we mean when we talk about being born again. And now, of course, we are not only going to preach the law and sin, which needs to be preached, but we also here at the Moody Church preach a tremendous amount of grace, because after we see our sin, what we really need is grace. And you may be here today, and you may be loaded with sin. If you are a sinner, let me introduce you to a wonderful Savior who can save us from our sins. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a minister in England in the 1800s, was describing to his congregation the amazing grace of God, the word of his grace, the Apostle Paul says. Spurgeon says that man piles a mountain of sin, but God will match it, and he upheaves a loftier mountain of grace. Man heaps up still a larger hill of sin, but the Lord overtops it with times of more grace, 10 times more grace, so that the contest continues until at last the mighty God plucks up the mountains by the roots and buries them beneath man's sin as a fly might be buried within an Alp mountain, under an Alp mountain. Notice, abundant sin is no barrier to the superabundant grace of God. Wow, what a statement. The issue is not the greatness of your sin. God can take care of that. The issue is your willingness to receive his gift of grace in Jesus Christ, that you might live within the grip of that matchless grace. So Paul says, I commend you to God, and then he says, I commend you to the word of his grace, and he says, which is able to build you up. It's the word of his grace that builds us up. I believe that dark times are coming to America. As a matter of fact, they're already here. Everything that has been nailed down is being torn up. The wheels are coming off the wagon. You know, Katrina would not have been the disaster that it was for New Orleans if the levees had held, but the levees broke, and that's why you had such devastation. I see the church in America as the levees holding back a lot of floodwaters of even greater evil. The question is, will the church be strong enough to withstand all that? Your next pastor is going to have to deal with issues that I did not have to deal with. When I wrote my book on Nazi Germany, I discovered that there are such things as cultural streams. A cultural stream is a movement within a country where if you oppose it, you are ridiculed, you are pushed down, you are marginalized, or you are fired. We're living here in America in a time when there is a cultural stream. And if you don't toe the line regarding political correctness and the expectations, you're going to find that things aren't going to go very well for you. You will be humiliated, shamed, told that you are a hater, all of those things, because there's cultural streams that are powerful and unrelenting, oftentimes perpetuated by the media. One of the things I'd like to do in the future is to help younger pastor possibly navigate some of these dark times. But I need to emphasize the fact that God will be with us through it. God is with us in our difficulties and in our challenges. There's a verse I love in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Just listen to it now. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work." All sufficiency at all times, in all things. My congregation that I love, God is with you to navigate the cultural streams, and I encourage you to stick up for Jesus and the Word of God no matter what. Jesus in the 6th chapter of Luke said this, "Blessed are you if your name is cast out as being evil on my behalf." Do you and I regard it as a badge of honor if our name is cast out for evil because we stick up for Jesus and the Word of God? He says that I commend you to God's Word, which is able to build you up. And now a fourth commitment that the Apostle Paul is making here. And that has to do with the fact that God is the one who is giving us, you'll notice, an inheritance among the redeemed. An inheritance among those who are sanctified. There are different ways to translate it. Now, when I think of inheritance and the inheritance of the redeemed, two things come to mind. Number one, salvation, which of course is ours in Jesus Christ and which is secure. We are in the grip of that grace. But I also think of the fact that there are rewards for faithfulness in the midst of difficulty and challenges. God regards that highly, and as a result, you get a reward. Now, the question is, what are you going to do during this time of transition? I encourage you to be faithful. It might be that there might be some who say, well, now that Pastor Luther is gone and the church is in transition, now would be a good time to begin to attend somewhere else. Don't go there. Don't do that. All right? Faithfulness means that we are committed to the vision of Moody Church. The person behind the pulpit is very important, but at the same time, the vision of the church is really what drives the entire ministry and the whole continuing work of the Moody Church. Now, I want you to come into this sanctuary, and by the way, it is a sanctuary right now. You know, when it's empty, it's like an auditorium. But when the people of God come in, it becomes like a sanctuary because God dwells with his people. And when you come in, I don't want you to look at the choir practicing or even the orchestra. Look at the sign above my head. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let that motivate you. Because as you well know, in the end, Jesus wins, and he wins big. King of kings, Lord of lords, God of all gods. I urge you to be faithful to the ministry and the vision of Moody Church. Now, as Rebecca and I think about rewards, and as we consider our ministry here, A few moments ago, we were told about some books that had been written with cards of appreciation. We haven't had time to look at them, but I glanced through them and it brought tears to my eyes. You have to understand that any spiritual victories that were won because of God, not because of us. But the fact that God would use such imperfect people to bless so many is deeply humbling. You know, the Bible talks about rewards. There's a reward for this. There's a reward for, the martyrs. They receive a reward. What about our reward, as Rebecca and I think about this? The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." And I say to the many friends, the brothers and sisters that we have here, you are our glory and joy. We love you. We're going to continue to pray for each other. We may be going separate ways, though eventually, possibly, I'll be back at some occasion to preach behind this pulpit where I have preached hundreds and hundreds of times. But you, at the end of the day, are our glory and joy and our crown of rejoicing. You know, a few years ago, I used this illustration to help us to see how wonderful it is to give everything to Jesus and to live full throttle for him. In India, there's a legend about a wealthy Raja riding along in a chariot, and there is a beggar standing near the ditch. The beggar goes over and he hopes that the wealthy Raja would be able to give him something, and so he holds up his bowl of rice, and the Raja says, "Beggar, give me some of your rice." The beggar's angry. "You know, you're the rich guy, you want me to give you some rice." He said, "Beggar, give me rice." So the beggar gingerly took one grain of rice and gave it to the wealthy Raja. The Raja said, "Beggar, give me more of your rice." And now the beggar turned and with a great anger took another grain of rice and gave that grain of rice to the wealthy Raja. The Raja said, "Give me more of your rice." By now the beggar was absolutely furious, and in a huff he gave him one more grain of rice and then walked off, and the Raja got on his chariot and left. A little while later, the man, the beggar, looked into his bowl and he saw something glitter. And it was the size of a piece of rice, but it was a piece of gold, just the size of a piece of rice. He looked through his bowl, he found only two more. And the beggar said, "Oh, if I had only known who I was speaking to, I'd have given him my whole bowl of rice." I tell you today, Jesus is generous. You be faithful to him. You give him everything. You live for his glory. And in the end, he will give you your rice. He'll take it and he'll give you his gold. Jesus. Jesus is so generous. Serving him is so wonderful. Telling others about him is such a privilege. I say to the congregation of Moody Church today that we indeed do commend you to God, to the word of his grace that is able to build you up. And someday we'll understand better what it means to have an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these words of the Apostle Paul, which today are our words. Invigorate us, we pray. Focus our commitment, because we give you all the glory and the praise to be able to serve you and love you and to be saved by you is a privilege we can scarcely imagine. And we do love you. In his name, amen.
To God be the glory, the overarching theme,
mentioned throughout Dr. Erwin Lutzer's message, through the songs, and I loved a few of his comments. The Word of God combined with the Spirit of God produces in us the life of God, that if you live for Jesus' glory, He'll give you all you need and much, much more. And be mindful that God remains no matter what. He's in control. He's in charge. His Word is powerful. The Spirit is working. There's rewards for His people. And the bottom line is God loves you. And no matter your sin, your failure, your faults, or how vast the sin is in your life, His grace is abundantly greater, and He desires you to come to Him. Oh, listening friend, it was such a wonderful service, followed by our motor coach heading over to Navy Pier, where we enjoyed some great food. How about the weather yesterday, everyone? It was just a spectacular time, and then as we rode home that 2.5 hours, there was a variety of testimonies shared, and we got to know each other in a special way. And Donna Collins from Montezuma, Indiana, had her accordion along, and she led us in some time of worship, so she strolled up and down the aisle. And it was just a delightful time. How pleasing it is to share the Lord's Day with other believers, just worshiping and testifying to His goodness. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.